So we are going to do this is level two, lesson two. We have three levels on our Bible studies, and this is level two. And this is how to meditate on God's Word. And I had sent the lesson to everybody, but I don't know if you want us, you know. I can read the lesson. We can talk about it. How do you want to begin? Did everybody have a chance to read the lesson? I guess we can start with that.
What I read was the benefits of speaking in tongues and self-centeredness. Is that the right one?
No, I had sent you one before I went on vacation.
The 24th of February.
Okay, so I had sent a lesson, but it's very short, so we can just go over the lesson again, okay? How's that, everybody? So you can just have your questions, you know? But anyway, this is how to meditate on God's Word, and it's something that, you know, I speak about on Sundays. You know, I speak about meditation, I speak about imagination. You know, the book of Joshua speaks about it, the Psalms speak about it, but the word meditate means to muse over, to ponder on, to plan in the mind, right? To purpose or even to intend. And even tells me in the lesson that the Greek word implies to revolve something in your mind. You know how you can read a scripture and like the word tells you, you know, meditate on the scripture. That means say it over and over and over and over again throughout the day. Like, for example, you know, we know that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed in 1 Peter 2:24. So, you know, whenever something or somebody feels any kind of symptom, or if you yourself feel a symptom, or when I feel a symptom, I say, nope, nope. Nope, devil, uh-uh. I am not accepting any symptoms. By Jesus Christ, I am healed. And I meditate on it, and I see myself healed, and I imagine myself healed. And this is what it means when it says, you know, resolving your mind to meditate on the Word, to meditate on the truth of the Word, you know. And like the lesson says, imagine yourself. Meditation is imagining. So imagine the results of the word that you're declaring over your life. You know, I've been ministering to my son's girlfriend, Mikey's girlfriend, and she has a lot of different symptoms. Like, she is in and out of the doctors. And I'm trying to tell her, listen, sickness, symptoms, they have no legal right to be on your body. And you need to begin to declare the word, meditate on the word, imagine the word, imagine yourself healed. Ponder upon the word, you know, but ponder in a way that you really truly believe what you're saying. One thing is to meditate and ponder over and over and over, but the other thing is, are you believing what you're meditating on? That's key, because what's the point of you repeating a verse and you're not really believing what you're meditating on? Well, it's going to neutralize your faith. It's going to paralyze your faith. Nothing's going to happen. So meditation is pretty big, because even the book of Joshua, and I don't even think that's not even in these scriptures, right? But in the book of Joshua, and I'm going to go there, in chapter 1, I'm going to go there, because this is a short lesson, and as the Lord leads, you know, I'm going to go to the scriptures. I absolutely love the book of Joshua, okay? But I believe it's towards Joshua 1:8. Look at what it says. This is God speaking to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I absolutely love the scripture.
Joshua 1:8.
I'm sorry, Brother Mark. I didn't see you there. Joshua 1:8. Brother Mark.
I'll put it in the notes.
Okay.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brother Mark. I didn't see you on. But anyway, we're talking about how to meditate on the Word of God, on God's Word. And we're talking about meditation, and it reminds me of the book of Joshua, because in this verse, God is very simple what he's saying. Listen, if you meditate on my word day and night, you will succeed at whatever you do. Whatever you plan to do, it's going to prosper. Whatever you lay your hands to do will prosper, and for today, for us, it will prosper in the name of Jesus. Right? We're the new covenant. Right? So, you know, this word is so key, because we really need to meditate, ponder on the word of God. You know, purpose, be intentional to when you read a verse and it speaks volume to you, to your situation, begin to ponder. Resolve it, like the Greek word implies. Resolve something in the mind. That means ponder on it, chew on it until you digest it, until you truly believe it. You know, this word is for me. Healing is for me. I'm not going to allow any symptoms to detour me, right, from thinking otherwise. If God said it, it's true. Yeah. If God said it, it has results. If God said it, and we saw how many healings took place when the Lord Jesus was alive, it's true. Amen? Yeah.
Amen.
And then the lesson goes on to say there's two reasons why biblical meditation are to ponder over correct knowledge, also referred to as renewing the mind, and to contact God behind his word through prayer, praise, and meditation. Two reasons for biblical meditation is to ponder, right? You know, what's truth of the Word of God. And also, to when you meditate, you're literally renewing your mind, because you're pondering on the Word over and over and over. Not only that, when you meditate on the Word and you're speaking it out loud, you're renewing your mind with it, you're actually talking to God. You're praying to God. You're praising God. You're meditating. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
And you're keeping your eyes on Him. You're thinking about the Lord. You're pondering about the Lord. So meditation is key, as we just read.
Amen. That's right.
As we just read. And the lesson goes on to say meditation can be done from topical study. Choosing a topic, let's say you can choose a topic on prosperity, on health, like we were talking about. You can choose a topic on giving, on blessings, whatever it is. You know, the lesson is saying, let's say, for example, baptism.
Amen.
Define the word from the Greek, right? Or Hebrew, or take a good dictionary and just look at the meaning of the word. Find the root word from which it's derived. Remember, the New Testament was written from the Greek Bible, right? From the Greek word. It was translated from the Greek into English and to a bunch of other languages. So, but the true translation is really in the Greek language. So if you can find the root of the Greek language, this is why I always go back, because this is something I learned just a few years ago, that when we were saved, healing was part of that salvation. I never knew that until a few years back. Because in the Greek word, salvation is it also means blessings and healings and so much more.
It has
in the Greek.
So much more, right.
There's so much meaning to the Greek meaning, you know, but in when you translate it to the English, we never knew that salvation came with a package deal, that healing was part of that plan of salvation, that divine wealth was part of that, that the blessing was part of that, prosperity was part of that. You know what I mean?
Wisdom.
Yeah, everything.
Knowledge, and then the knowledge of the understanding of God.
Exactly.
Because not everybody has that.
No.
Remember, we're the minority in that, because we know the majority of people don't understand it. You talk to them and they just don't get it. That's a blessing for us that we hear God.
Exactly.
Because if you don't hear Him, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, that's what happens anyway.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's important that we go back to the original language. You know, the lesson says, consider and ponder the context also of verses that will lead you to study other related subjects, such as, let's say, remission, repentance, faith, your conscience, and even calling on the Lord, and the list goes on and on. You know, excuse me?
No, I was saying yes, because when you start with one scripture, and you've got to start digging into it, you can go on forever and ever. You just go from one place to the next place to the next place.
Yeah,
you know, it's really important. You know, when you see the words in the Bible, therefore.
Therefore, yes.
You better read the verses before that, because there's content and context within that chapter.
Right.
And this is
like
what
the verses before.
Exactly.
The verses before 8, they're nice verses.
Yeah, you know, when you know, if you're still in Joshua, you know, here, you know, the Lord is talking to Joshua. Listen, Moses is dead. It's been 30 days, right? You know, okay, enough is enough. Let's get to work now. We got a promised land to reach, right? I'm paraphrasing, of course, right?
That's what he tells him, yes.
But, you know, and now he's giving him instructions. Listen, the way I bless Moses, I'm going to bless you. Every place that your feet stand on, it is blessed. It's yours. You know, go for it. Anything you touch is yours. I just ask you for one thing. Meditate on my word. Meditate on my scripture. That's all the Lord is asking Joshua to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is great advice, and this is what we need to do. You know, the Old Testament as well as the New is the living word of God. The
Amen.
Old Testament always points to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Amen.
We cannot just believe the new. We got to believe the old too.
Yes.
Because it points you to the Lord.
Amen.
So we can't leave it out.
For us. Yes.
Yeah. We got to.
For us.
We got to have an understanding of the old so we can welcome the new. You know what I mean? So we need to ponder, you know, on questions. You know, that you may have while you're reading. Ask the Lord, what exactly does this mean? Remember, when we study the Word of God, the first thing you need to do is say, Holy Spirit, as I read your Word, bring me the understanding. Reveal how this Word applies to me. Give me a vision. Give me a picture. Reveal to me, illuminate my mind on this word. We need to pray before we begin to read the word and allow the Lord, right, to just deposit that understanding into you. Because we all have questions. When we read, we don't understand something. God, what does this mean? Can you help me? You know? And the Father helps you. Right? And you know, it's talking here in the lesson, it's talking about baptism, right? Are there qualifications to be met before baptism? What is the purpose of baptism? When was it practiced? In what time frame? So when you read scripture and you begin to read about baptism, these should be all questions that we all have. Because remember, there's different types of baptism. You got the water baptism.
Yeah. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. So you got to make sure, okay, which one, when you read scripture, which one are we talking about? You got to make sure that it's clear. That's why you got to read the verses before and even the verses after. Yeah. You know? And just ask questions. You know, when did this happen? What was the time frame? You know, there's a lot of in the Old Testament, there's a lot of time in between. You know? Remember, from the Old to the New, there was like 400 years, right? In between Malachi to the gospel, 400 years passed, and then we have a New Testament. We got the Lord Jesus that comes into that is born, right? So 400 years in between that. So, you know, ask the Holy Spirit questions, and He's gonna answer.
Yeah.
Right? So meditation can be done from expositional study. For example, you can take verse by verse and study the Bible that way. But the main thing that we are talking about tonight is we need to ponder, meditate, be intentional, you know, in thinking on these verses. How does it apply to you? You need to become familiar with the stories of the Bible. You need to become familiar with the context of the Bible. You need, you know, and we all have a concordance in the Bibles. And in the middle of my Bible, study Bible, I have verses that I can go back to that are related to a particular word within the context of the verse that I'm reading. If there's a particular topical, right?
Yeah, that's why sometimes you can't go verse by verse, because you read a verse, but you have to reference other verses
to get
a full picture and knowledge and understanding of the verse that you're reading sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's what ministers do, right? We, you know, I think Mark, you've taught before, Benit, you taught before, and you have to reference, you know, other verses from the Bible that have context about the same topic or the same subject, whatever it is you're talking about. So let's go to, you know, where does it mention this word again, and how did it apply then? How is it applied to us today? Right? And then bring illustrations and examples, you know, maybe real life experiences, right? Meditation, how was I successful in meditating, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you bring the illustrations so the congregants can understand where you're going with this. So it's really fun. Sometimes it is fun, you know. You're going from resource to resource, but the Word of God is so rich, and it has so much understanding. And like I said, that when you pray before you study, the Holy Spirit is the revealer of all truth. He's your guide, and He's the one that's going to bring you the full understanding of the Scripture that you're reading, if you don't understand it.
Right. Amen. Right. Yeah.
And like the lesson says, meditation can be done through word studies. What do certain words mean? What does it mean to believe? What does the word Lord mean? What does the word Jesus mean? What does the word Christ mean? What does the word justify mean? And the list goes on. What does prosperity mean? What does righteousness mean? What does faith mean? What does hope mean? We gotta study from the Word.
Right.
And then we get awakened because we got to apply it to our life. Because if we, you know what I mean? We got to apply what we learn to our life. It has mm-hmm. to apply somewhere.
Yeah, and this is why, like, let's say, for example, listen, for example, last Sunday I spoke about unity, right? Well, I experienced so much unity the week before that I felt led by the Lord to bring a topical study on Sunday about the word unity within the congregation, within brothers and sisters in Christ. And I did that. And I brought different examples, how we were united, how the Holy Spirit shows up when there's unity in the brethren, how there's power when two or more come in agreement together. You know, there's so much about unity, and this is why it says, you know, when you can meditate on the words, and I was meditating on Psalm 133 since last year. You know, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to gather together in unity. And that just, I was just meditating. And then, you know, I digested that so much that I was able to bring it forth on Sunday.
Right.
Because the word has to minister to you first before you can actually release it.
Mm-hmm.
You guys following?
Yes.
This is why it's so important to meditate on the word, chew on it, until you digest it,
mm-hmm.
until it has meaning to you, until you take that word and you can see a vision, an imagination that applies to your life. And once, because when that happens, there's no way unbelief can touch you. When you know that you know that you know what I'm looking at, it is true. That's why they say, imagine yourself healed. Because then that scripture comes alive in you. When you see yourself, if you can't, if let's say, for example, if you have knee pain, for example, and it's hard for you to even jog or stand or do a squat, then see yourself jogging slowly. See yourself making a couple squats, right? It's just waking up your spirit to the truth of your word, and then this mind of yours that likes to think negative and likes to have think about symptoms and all that, it kind of, you twist it, and you begin to renew your mind.
Can I say some?
Of course.
But what if you are somebody who, you have a terrible diet, and you're eating bad food, and the people are telling you, wait, don't eat more anymore of that food, it's going to get you sick, it's full of sugar, it's full of these terrible things, there's 100 labels. Now, if you then say now after eating food for so many, eating wrong, then you say, I believe I'm going to get healed, it's going to be hard, no? I just feel like I could pray. I know God could heal you from that. But you have to put effort into not eating certain things. You can't just say, oh, God's going to heal me from it. That, you know.
Absolutely. Listen.
You see what I mean?
Of course I do. Listen, first of all, God doesn't violate his own word.
You're going to have circumstances in your life that you did in your youth. That you're going to have to pay for when you believe God, because you're going to have to carry the, like they say, you carry the cross. You know, and you can't get away with that. And I wouldn't want to get away with that. That's the consequences of my life. But through these things, even in my sickness, God is there with me. That's the word that I want to say. He's there. He's there when I'm sick. He's there when I'm not sick. He's there when he's always there. But when you say, God, thank you for these things, it opens up a whole life, a whole new thing. I'm not saying you can't get healed, but you have certain natural rules you got to go by. Like if you have certain things, you got to still take your medicine. You can't say stop and say, oh, I'm going to get, because I believe, I'm not saying you're saying it like that, but I'm just saying it's something you have to think about, the consequences of your life. That doesn't mean that God is not going to be with you. He's with you. But you have to, you're going to have consequences, you know?
No, I totally get what you're saying, and you're so right, because let me tell you something. This is the reality. The Holy Spirit's always talking. A lot of times we choose not to listen. So we're going to have the sugars. We're going to take a step and say, you know what? I don't care. I'm having this cake. Even though your sugar may be like 200. First of all, you're not using wisdom. Second of all, I'm pretty sure because we have the Holy Spirit who is the revealer of truth, and he's the one guiding us 24/7. Not every Sunday. Not every Sunday. 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have the Spirit of the Lord constantly speaking to us. Are we obeying the voice of the Lord?
That's the whole thing.
Right. Many of us, right, we choose not to obey God's guidance. So, for example, diabetes, right? Hey, listen, let me tell you something. I can tell you right now, because my daughter is an example right now. My daughter used to be very, very overweight. She used to weigh close to 280 pounds at one point. Very diabetic. Her numbers would always be 300, 400, even at 500 at one point, okay? Very diabetic, but she was depressed, this and that. She tried, but she couldn't do it. She continued on the medication, okay, until just recently, maybe a couple years, and I'm talking about, this has been going on for a long time, but about a year ago, she got revelation, okay? And then she began to see, listen, if you continue not caring about your body, it's going to affect other organs in your body. You're either going to be on medication, and I'll let you know, the Holy Spirit said, I'll let you know when to get off it, right? We got to listen to the Holy Spirit. And my daughter has gotten word time and time again about her body, because that's where your holy temple is. The Lord resides. He didn't just move in. The Holy Spirit didn't just move in. He resides in the inside of us. Okay? Right. Like that. Like he's just there to stay. He's not somebody that moved in and 6 months later moves out. He's not one that we wrote that he has a lease on you, and in a year he's going to be moving out. No, the Holy Spirit is here to stay. So now my daughter got a revelation. She really wants to have a family. Now she's taking care of her body, right? And she began training. She weighs less than me now, okay? Less than me. And she's gotten off all her diabetic medications, and she's only on one. And when the Spirit of the Lord tells her to get off it, she will get off it. But we need to use wisdom. And many times, let's take it further. Let's take it further. Many times, you may pray for somebody. This has happened to me. You may pray for somebody, and the Lord will stop you. So don't pray. Because they're not ready to receive what I have for them. Don't pray. They're still thinking in their old ways. Don't pray. They don't believe. Don't pray. You know? The Holy Spirit will tell you. This is why I'm pressing. I want to be in tune with God 24/7. Like I want to walk talk to God and hear him answer. This is how in tune we all need to be with the Spirit of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? Because he's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. Right? So he's the one that's going to guide you, reveal truth to you. And like you said, Brother Mark, when it comes to healing, yes, if you're not using wisdom, you're not going to see it, because what's the reality? The reality is you're not walking by faith. You're still walking by your five senses, meaning you're going to eat what you want to eat because your mouth is savoring that cake. So now you're eating something that is definitely associated with your five senses, which is taste. The five senses that we have are part of unbelief. And I taught that, okay? That's part of your unbelief. So if you continue with you know what, I don't care, I'm gonna have this piece of cake. Okay, well, you know, you're not using wisdom right now, right? Because if it's affecting your sugars and you're not allowing your body to regulate, then you're not really using wisdom. On the other hand, you know, we also need to talk to God about it, right? So, you know, there's consequences for everything. There's good consequences and there's bad consequences.
Yes.
It's up to us.
Yeah.
It's really up to us. What voice are we listening to? Are we listening to our voice, the enemy's voice, or the Lord's voice? So, yes. Yes, healing.
The person's listening to themselves.
Right, exactly, because they talk to themselves.
Like one preacher says, it's like you got to take yourself off the throne, because we always want to be in charge. We always want to, no matter what, it's the default thing that we go to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I find I have to, with myself, not think about me, think about like God, like Christ. Christ is supposed to be on the throne, not me. But I always want to force myself, well, I'll make this decision, you know? So it's,
you know, some decisions, Brother Mark, some decisions, we don't need to go to God. Why? Does it align to the Word of God? Then you don't need to go to God. He's very simple. God is very simple. You know, you don't need to ask me this. I mean, he said it. Why are you asking me this? It's in the Word. Does it align to my will for your life? Yeah. You don't need to ask me. You already know my decision on that. So a lot of times God will tell you, you don't need to ask me that. You already know. It's aligned with my Word. It's fine. You know, God puts a desire in your heart. Does it align with God's Word? Yeah. So it's fine. Go for it. You know what I mean? So, and other things, if we're not sure, yeah, we need to go to God because we need His guidance.
Right.
Like with, you know, with the sanctuary, I need the Lord's guidance. I want to design it the way He wants to. He wants me to design it. I got to go to God. I got to wait for Him to show me, and He's shown me already some visions, but I got to go to God. Lord, I may want stained windows. Maybe God doesn't want me to get stained windows. You know what I mean? Like, I have to go to God, you know? And I'm hoping He'll say, yeah, go ahead, go for it, you know? But I'm just, you know, I'm being silly right now, but I'm just saying that, you know, for certain things we need to go to God. For other things, it's really common sense, because if it's aligned with the Word, then you know it's God's will. But if, let's say we pray for somebody else's spouse,
right,
come on, that's definitely not God's will, you know? So we know, and the Holy Spirit will tell us, because He's a gentleman, you know? Like, he just wants us to be in the know, right?
Yeah.
So it just, you know, I have made the gospel really hard, and lately, I see it as, oh, it's so simple. It's getting simpler and simpler. Why? Because I'm meditating. I'm reflecting on it. I'm pondering on the word. I said, I got it. You know, and it makes sense. You know, and I asked the Holy Spirit, just give me the wisdom to really, really dig deeper into the word, to really see what it means and how I can apply it to myself, to my life right now. And the Lord's just opening up every, listen, I took this lesson about a year and a half ago, and I'm learning so much from it. I had to do this lesson a year and a half ago when I started Bible school, a year and a half ago. I'm getting so much more just by studying with you guys. I am getting so much more revelation. And honestly, I love it. I love it because God's speaking to me. He's giving me the words to say right now.
There's reading material.
And sometimes, Pastor, it's common sense. And sometimes it's things you already know that you've heard in the past. But then it comes forward and you're like, oh, I knew that. But it took something being said or done or whatever to bring it to the forefront that makes you go back to, I remember this. Or I understand this better now. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it takes an incident.
Yes. It's like an enlightenment.
Yes.
What you've meditated on before and didn't realize that you've already had the revelation of it. Or, you know what I mean? Like, the revelation comes right to your face like, oh, my God, we're sitting here all the time and I didn't even see it. So.
Right? Yeah. Ain't that true? Right? I think we've all been through that, right? Where the light bulb goes on, you have an aha moment. Aha, I got it, you know? I think everybody's gone through that. Reading the word and maybe they didn't get it first time, but then the second time they read the same verse, they say, oh my goodness, I got it. Right? So
it's the application of it. It's not just the hearing of it. It's the application of it that drives it home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And just applying the word that you're reading to your life, just like meditation. You know, I gave you the lesson. Brother Mark, I didn't give you the lesson because you hadn't been on, but I can send you the lessons from here on.
Okay.
You know?
That sounds like good.
So like this, you kind of prepare. I normally send the questions, but I think I'm going to send the lesson with the questions so you guys can reread and prepare and know what the next lesson is, you know?
Yep.
So, but anyway, just like meditation, you know, we meditate on the word, we ponder on the word, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit can bring you to a situation that you were in before and just illuminate that situation even further. You know what I mean? Like, Holy Spirit's always speaking to us. And that's the beauty of having a relationship, an intimate relationship with God, because God is always speaking. And we can ask. And the word of God says, when you ask, you will receive.
Amen.
So even, you know, the lesson also says, even by reading paragraphs from the Bible, you can even meditate on certain paragraphs. What is this paragraph saying right now? So we read in Joshua, when I go back to Joshua 1:8, we just read a whole paragraph. I mean, verse 8 was full of words. Really good things. Meditate on my word, right? Do it day and night. Follow what it says. In other words, be obedient to it. And then you're going to be successful in everything you do. I mean, there's a lot in that just that one verse. So we can meditate even from the paragraph.
You will have good success.
Yeah, you will be prosperous.
Huh?
Huh?
And you can't argue with that, right?
No.
Prosperous, and then you will have good success.
I mean, this
you
is...
You gotta have courage.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing, you gotta have courage.
Yeah, because we gotta read the verses before that. He speaks about courage. The Lord speaks to Joshua about being strong. Being strong and of good courage, right? So this is why it's important to look at the context of what you're meditating on. And it says here that a paragraph is a unit of thought in writing, and it's usually contained in several sentences. So when we begin to read scripture, right, and the author of the book changes the subject of emphasis in the writing, they usually begin with a new paragraph. Just like Joshua, it went from courage to meditation, right? Because the verses before speak about be of good courage. But then it went from there to meditating, and that's why a new paragraph got started in that book, chapter 1, because I'm looking at it. It's indented. It's a new paragraph. That means that means the writer is making a new point. He's emphasizing something new in this paragraph. So when we are meditating, right, through the Word of God, through the Holy Scriptures, we should be looking for punctuation. We should be looking for such as the question marks. We should be looking for maybe quotations. Like in the Bible, when there's red lettering in the New Gospel, that is the Lord Jesus speaking. And that's important because you want to know who's speaking in the context of your book that you're reading.
Right.
You also want to know why is it in within the scriptures that you're reading, why is it that the writer is asking a question? How does it relate to what you're reading? How does it relate to the context of that chapter or the few verses that you're reading? How is it relatable? These are all things that we need to watch out for. Just like the words therefore, or the word then, or the word end, or the word but, B-U-T. We gotta read before and after to get the full context. Because once you do, it's a lot easier to meditate on the Word of God. And it says here, biblical meditation is not just looking at words, but for God behind the word. So in other words, meditation is looking at God because he's the one behind the word. So we're always looking at God in everything that we do. And that's what meditation does. Meditations make us just ponder and meditate on him and on his word and on his truth. And remember, the truth of his word always makes us free. Always. And the main thing is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We need to worship the Lord in freedom, in spirit, and in truth, in understanding, with a sound mind. Amen? This is we have the mind of Christ already. So meditation should make it even easier for us. So what this lesson is saying, look out. Look out for different words. You know, read the paragraphs, meditate on certain words, and meditate until if you have fully digested the context of the topical word that you're meditating on, until you truly believe it. Continue to meditate on the word until it touches you. And then take that word and apply it. Because when you meditate, like we read, on the word day and night. Whatever you do will succeed. You will, it will be prosperous. And I truly believe this word. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the questions. What does the word meditate mean? Somebody in your own words. What does the word meditate mean? Or you can get it from the lesson.
Thinking about it.
Just
about
it. Over and about. The intent in your mind. Exactly. Yep. That's like, you know, it's gotta revolve in your mind over and over and over. You know?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. What are two reasons for biblical meditation? Two reasons.
To get a full understanding of words.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's one. Yep. What's the other reason?
Yeah.
The other reason is... What is it, Liz?
Hand over the correct.
Yeah. Exactly. You're connecting God to your meditation. You're contacting God behind His Word. When you ponder, when you think about Him, you're connecting with God. You're talking to God. You're praying to God. Amen. This is why it's so important to, you know, to meditate on the Word.
Amen.
All right. Question number three. What is a topical study? What is a topical study?
You choose your topic and then you get able to
topical studies, choosing a topic that you can actually think upon, meditate upon, ponder upon, a topic that is just relatable. You know, if you choose the topic, let's say Vinit wants to do, you know, let's say she wants to study on giving. Well, she's going to choose that topic. It's going to be about giving. And she's going to, you know, go to the Bible and begin to do a word study on that particular word. And then she's going to take that word. She's going to ponder on the word. Think about that word, meditate on that word until she gets it in her system, right? Mm-hmm. She's digesting it, and then it's so much easier to bring it out to the congregation or to bring it out to your family if you need to talk to your family about a particular word. This is a topical study. It's taking one word. Amen? What about... question number four, what is an expositional study of the scriptures? Expositional study of the scriptures.
Study the verse.
Exactly. It's a verse by verse study, right, of a book of the Bible.
Amen.
So you take a book of the Bible, let's say, the Gospel of John, verse by verse, and you begin study scripture after scripture. But it's a study of verse by verse. All right, let's read some scripture now. Luke 6:46, and I'm going to go to the New King James. Luke, the Gospel of Luke 6:46. If anybody has it, you can read it.
I have it.
All right, can you read it, Brother Mark?
Luke
Luke 6:46.
Yeah.
But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me,
that's it.
Yeah. So, what do you think the word Lord means in this verse?
I'm one in authority.
Yeah, Lord. Lord of lords.
Mm-hmm. I'm one in authority. So, one of my. Yeah.
Authority.
Yeah, so.
You do not do the things which I say.
Yeah, so here the word Lord means someone we obey. Mm-hmm. For example, like a boss. That's what it means, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I do, which I say, you know. You know, usually when we work for somebody, we got to do as they say. They're our boss, yeah. Right? So in this particular verse, the word Lord here means someone we obey, such as our boss. Okay? So you see how it's breaking it down, right?
Yes.
All right, let's go to the book of Matthew 1:21, chapter 1, verse 21. And if anybody has it, they can read it. Matthew 1:21.
Amen. 21?
Yes.
And she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
All right. Question.
Yes.
What do you think the word Jesus means in this verse?
Wait. Oh, Savior?
Salvation.
Yep. Yep. In this particular verse, what it's saying here that the word Jesus means a savior that saves others from their sins.
Amen.
Because that's what the verse says, right?
Yes.
It's pointing to the Lord Jesus, the one who's going to save his people from their sins. So when the word Jesus is used here, which we know it means salvation from our studies. You know, we've been studying the gospel for years now, right? But we know that here it says the word means a savior that saves others from their sins.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, let's read another scripture. And Brother Mark, I'm going to send you this lesson after we finish the Bible study.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the...
100,
yes, absolutely. Everybody gets 100 here. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read two verses here. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke 23. Chapter 23, verses 1 and 2.
Oh. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king."
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the question. What do you think the word Christ means in these two verses? You can read it again if you want to.
Oh, it's saying right there that he's the Christ, he's the King.
What is Christ? A King.
Messiah? The Anointed One?
Exactly. So the word Christ means one anointed to be a king.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means in this verse. It's really in verse 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we're going to get away from scripture. And Brother Mark, you didn't have the lesson, but we spoke about it. What is a paragraph?
A unit of thought in writing, one idea that
contains
several sentences.
When we read a paragraph in the Word of God, it is a unit of thought that is in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The last question on this lesson is, biblical meditation is not just looking at words, but for blank. For what?
Contact God. For God behind the word.
Exactly. All right, mm-hmm. So biblical meditation is not just looking at words, but for contacting God behind his word.
Amen.
Any questions? Any comments? Anything? I'm open here. Because this is the last question of the lesson. We only had 9 questions, and we went through them already. This was a good lesson.
Yeah.
This is something you can take and just apply it when you begin to read the word. Apply everything that we spoke about. You know, maybe next time you read a verse, if it touches you, begin to meditate on that particular word or even verse. And allow it to just, you know, just think on it. Think on it. Chew on it.
Yeah.
Ponder on it. How does it apply to you? Ask the Lord, Lord, how does this apply to me?
Right.
Give me an example. Show me. Have I experienced this before? Show me a vision. Tell me. You know, you can ask the Lord anything you want.
Yeah.
But meditate. Exactly. Yeah. Meditate on the Word of God, because the Word is rich. Very rich.
Amen.
And the Lord has made his gospel very simple. We're the ones that make it so difficult at times. I think the more I get into the word, the simpler he's making it for me.
Amen.
And I've been a believer let's say close to 30 years now. Now I'm starting to really understand his word, right?
Understanding, yeah. Because in the Bible it says understanding, knowledge, certain words that you know that the Lord is speaking to you, and he's like mentoring God.
Yeah.
He speaks to us, talks to us. Amen.
That's yeah. Right. Now I'm gonna give you a little nugget that I learned just this week. You know how the Word of God says, "Ask and you will receive," right?
Mm-hmm.
This is why, and understand where I'm coming from. This is why I don't ask if I'm not feeling well. I don't ask God to heal me. Right? Because it's something he already, the Lord Jesus did over 2,000 years ago. His broken body is the reason why we can declare and decree that we are healed today. Right? It's in scripture. It's in Isaiah. 53, right? 4 and 5?
Yeah.
And then Peter quotes Isaiah in past tense. Like Isaiah spoke it in present tense, right? And then now we have Peter quoting it in 1 Peter 2:24 in past tense. We were healed. By his stripes we were healed, right? So we don't ask the Lord to heal us because that took place over 2,000 years ago, correct? So we're not going to pray for something we already have. Remember, when you were saved, when you said yes to the Lord, when you received salvation, there was a package deal. You also received healing and a bunch of spiritual blessings. On top of that, and I just want to give you this, in Galatians 5:22, in verse 19, it starts speaking about the works of the flesh, right? But when we get, and verse 19, 20, and 21, it speaks about the works of the flesh. But when we get to Galatians 5:22, it says, read it, Brother Mark. Yeah.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law.
So I want to let you know that the fruit of the Spirit is something we already have. We do not need to ask the Lord for love, for joy, for peace, for long-suffering, which is patience, for kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, because through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's already ours. We already have it. So we don't need to ask for this.
Right.
Correct? However, when you go to the book of Ephesians, right, chapter 1, why don't we go there? Ephesians 1.
Yes, the next one over.
Right? In verse 15, 16, 17, the Paul here is praying for the church at Ephesus. And he's asking the Lord, right? He's talking about God. He's giving thanksgiving that the Lord may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. So here, we already have through the Holy Spirit the fruit of the Spirit. But we can ask the Lord for the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation. So there's certain things that we should ask the Lord for, but there's other things that we already acquired through the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? So the fruit of the Spirit is already ours. Healing is already ours. Salvation is already ours when we say yes to the Lord, because we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's ours. And no one can take that away. But we can ask the Lord for more wisdom, like Solomon, right?
Yes, that's right.
The Lord said, what would you want? He didn't ask for riches, he asked for wisdom. He needed wisdom, understanding, and good thing he received it, because he built the most beautiful temple that there will ever be in this world.
And he said the right thing because God granted him everything.
Exactly. So I just wanted to give you that we don't need, you know, I know Andrew Womack always makes fun of this song. You know, when people sing, more love, more power, more of you in my life. You don't need to sing that, because we already have love, power, we have all that. So why are you asking for it?
Right.
You know what I mean? So he makes fun of that song all the time, and I remember that. you know, because it makes me laugh. I say, I used to sing that all the time. We used to sing that all the time, right?
Yeah, we sang that, yeah.
But he says, know. Why are you asking for more love? You have love. God is love. You have it already.
You have to activate it, right? Sort of got to get activated.
Yeah, and these are things...
Blessed by the Holy Spirit so you can understand the things.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and says, and...
Yeah, you already have patience. You already have faith. Listen, the Lord Jesus, when you got saved, he gave you the same measure of faith. He gave everybody the same measure of faith. We all have faith. We don't need any more. We don't need any less. We have faith. Period. Period. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We have faith. We don't need any more. What happens is that when you bring unbelief into it, it paralyzes the faith. And nothing happens. Nothing happens when unbelief comes into play. That's why you gotta say no to those five senses. Say no to everything that's going to interfere, to offense, unforgiveness, because all that will cancel your faith. Mm-hmm. But
and your feelings and emotions, you gotta cancel those.
Yeah. But anyway, all that. Just want to let you know that you know we don't need to ask God for patience, for kindness, for love. You know we already have it.
We already have all that.
We love because God first loved us. We already have God. So, but yeah, but feel free to ask God for everything else. You know, guidance, wisdom. God, reveal the word to me. Illuminate the word to me. Help me in this situation. Holy Spirit, assist. If you lose your keys, Holy Spirit, help me find these keys. I've done it.
Yeah.
And you know what? And then all of a sudden, he brings into remembrance a place where you placed them that you had totally forgot about it. I'm just saying... You have the Holy Spirit. You're already fully equipped with so many benefits. All those spiritual blessings are yours. Maybe meditate on those. I think that they're listed in Psalm 107, right? All the spiritual blessings. And even in the book of Ephesians, right? In the beginning. You know, it says in Ephesians... 1:3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand what all those spiritual blessings are, then ask the Lord, Lord, what are your spiritual blessings? And let him do a download on you. But spiritual blessings are really the fruit of the Spirit. We have salvation, we have deliverance, we have restoration through Christ. We have that is all part of salvation. Healing, deliverance, restoration, that is all part of salvation. It's a full package.
And the knowledge of him, right?
That's it.
The knowledge of our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
What about when we ask for comfort? Doesn't he say that he already sent us the Comforter?
Well, the Holy Spirit is our Comforter.
The Holy Spirit is our Comforter.
You know?
Right.
You just have to become, you need to become aware.
Aware of it.
And it's a personal thing.
It is.
You can't expect your spouse to, you know, like, it's a personal, it's a one-on-one thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not with somebody else. It's not. No. He wants you. He don't want any. We'll get to that later, but he's more like they say God is jealous.
It's individual. Just like salvation is individual. You know, your spouse can't be saved to you. That's individual. Everybody, that's individual.
Yeah. And when we have salvation, he sends the comfort of the Holy Spirit in us, the power.
Yeah, he's, you know, remember, he's our guide.
Then we start understanding.
Yeah.
Then we start seeing him more. You see him more in things. You see right. him here, you see
You see him in those small things, and you begin to thank God. I think one of the most important things that I minister to young ladies that I'm around with, you know, but we need to have a heart of gratitude. That is one of the key things. Like, you know, what is the, it's a five, and I know I'm going a little bit long, but everything is so relatable, and I think it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm trying to think, 5:17 or something, that, you know, 5:18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Amen.
So we gotta be grateful. We gotta have a heart of thanksgiving, because the Word of God says, in everything, just give thanks to the Lord.
Right.
Just like healing, like you have a symptom,
Amen.
God, thank you that I am healed in Jesus' name. Thank you that your word says A, B, and C. Thank you, Lord, for my spouse. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for my children. Thank you, Lord, that my children will and are the men and women of God you have called them to me. Thank you, Lord. And you got to be so grateful, because what he's done for us at the cross, no one, there's not enough words, no one can ever compare to what the Lord did at the cross. No one.
That's right.
No one.
That's right.
But I think this will end with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. And that is such a key word. Because when I know that when I begin to pray to God, like when we get together on Wednesday, we pray, the first thing out of my, thank you, Lord, we give you thanks.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, thanksgiving for even having the privilege of being able to pray to him, of being able to talk to him, of being able to declare the word, of petition to him, things that may be very difficult for you to talk about. Thank you, Lord, for listening. You know, in everything, give thanks. So I just want to end with this. You know, have a heart of gratitude every day. Every day. Wake up thanking God. Go to sleep thanking God. Because if it wasn't for him, we would not be here right now. Our families would not be saved. Amen. And there's just so much to be grateful for.
Yes. Amen.
And God is not done with you yet. There's so much he wants to do for you and with you.
And we live in a country full of milk and honey. You know, like he says, I brought you out of your sin. I brought you to this land. This land is with milk and honey. And now all I ask is follow my word, do these things, and like you say, be of courage, and then the next thing, meditate on my word. That's it.
That's what it's all about. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm gonna